Before we start with the show, I want to read out this little email that I got. Hello Web12 team, I'm a longtime listener and fan of the show. Well, that's awesome. I want to reach out about a possible tournament shout out for a US tournament coming up in a few months. If you could shout out the below, great. If not, no worries, I know you're all busy. Well, we're not that busy, we can do this. I can do this. Welcome to the Squabbling Goblins First Infinity Tournament. All you need is move, shoot, dodge. All are welcome to this beginner-focused tournament. We have a lot of new players in Boston and the surrounding areas, so we want to put on a tournament to show everyone how awesome the Infinity community is. Yeah, it's very awesome. If you are a new player, bring your minis and come on down. If you need to borrow some minis, let us know. If you are an experienced player, great, we'll see you here too. Who? You, me, and the friends you will make all the way. Sponsored by Tanner and Woody. Please reach out to contact us at squabblinggoblin.com with any questions. What? A 3-round full 300-point 2-list Infinity N4 tournament focused on beginner-friendly missions. Price is 20 euro. Euro. They pay in dollars in America. Price is $20 per person with $5 off if you bring a table or train. Round 1 is superiority, starting at 10 till 12:30. Lunch, 12:30 to 1. Uplink Center as round 2, from 1 to 3:30. Round 3, Battleground from 3:30 till 6. Dinner nearby if you are interested. When? Sunday, May 19th, dice roll at 10 a.m., table available at 9:30. Where? Belmont's own The Squabbling Goblin, right outside of Boston, parking available, 39 Concord Avenue, Belmont, MA 02478. The store is garden level inside a small office building. Why? To play Infinity and have fun. Best of luck, Woody. Well, Woody, here you go. Hope a lot of people in the Boston area will look you up and start playing Infinity. And now, back to the show.
Hello, dear listener. This is the Whip 12 podcast, and we are here today to talk about the IGL painting competition season 6 that runs concurrently or has run concurrently with the satellite of the same. And we are here today with the previous winner, season 5, and our guest judge, Mike Grumpy Painter. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it? How are you?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on and being our guest judge. We start these pieces off usually with a little bit of an intro for our guest judges and guests in general. So who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? And what's your hobby background, more importantly?
I'm Mike. I'm from Johannesburg in South Africa. And I've been painting for a very, very long time. I started in the late 90s with Warhammer Fantasy Battle, like so many people did, and just learning from whatever magazines and publications you could get your hands on. I think in the thousands, I sort of branched out and diversified, and I play a variety of game systems, but of all those game systems, I think my favorite is Infinity. I was the moment that really changed my perspective as a painter was seeing Anhel Giraldus's work and getting a hold of his first book and then just pouring through his material and like sort of emulating the master and then trying to develop my own style after that. And I think he's an incredible painter. I think everybody does. And like Infinity wouldn't be what it is without his incredible pieces in the early days.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you mention him because you're right. My opinion also is the same with Infinity. They, of course, produce a great game and incredible miniatures. But so much of that you know, I know when I first got interested in Infinity was just, I think it was just towards the end of Angel's sort of period on the working for Corvus Belli. And yeah, that's the kind of thing you go, wow, that is a cool model and it looks incredible. Like it's such a paint job.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I've learned a lot from then, and I'm just a hobbyist. I'm not a commissioned painter or anything. So it's just a long journey of exercise and improvement. But luckily the painting scene in South Africa, just in terms of competition painters and commission painters and the like, is really, really improving. I think one of your previous judges was also from South Africa.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of others that I'm desperately trying to convince to submit for the competition, which are excellent and wonderful people to get critique from and learn from. That's really nice. And we've got a really great South African Infinity community in general. Games played in great spirits. I think, I mean, you might know Temporal Discord. He'll be a part of the IGL League. He's a good friend of mine who plays in all of the online leagues and plays Infinity with us locally. So that's Infinity. And in terms of aesthetic for Infinity, I'm drawn between two factions. I think the one that suits my play style and painting style best is OSS. I really appreciate my flat pack infantry and what they can do. And I'm trying to, I've played Tunguska in the past. I really enjoy Tunguska, but I'm not, it just doesn't gel as well, both in the painting style as well as in game terms.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm also an OSS player. I like your description of the flat pack infantry. I have struggled a great deal with Dakinis, actually, to paint them in a way that satisfies me. I decided to paint them with non-metallic gold on the head. And when you try and do that, and you look at the head and you go, yeah, I can do this. And then I start to stare at this model like, how am I going to do this? How do I create? Where does the light fall? What's the reflection? Where do they? Yeah, it became very complicated. I'm still struggling with it, actually. But yeah, the faction's very cool. And the aesthetics is great.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that leaves all for us to do is to move on to the judging. As I mentioned earlier, Mike is a winner of our previous round. And so, as is a tradition, an emerging and continuing tradition, we take our previous winner to judge the following competition. As a quick reminder, we have four categories in this painting competition based on the silhouette size of the model. So we have S1 to S2, S3, S4, S5, S6 to S8. Those are the broad categories. That's to sort of roughly encapsulate the different types of units that we have in the game. But of course, we get variable levels of entry into our competition. So there are, as you might expect, a lot of S2. A lot of people like their S2 model, which is fair, and a few of others. So we tried to have a winner for every category, but that didn't really work out in the early days. So we have one overall winner, which we will announce at the end. Also, a quick reminder, this competition is sponsored. The winner of this competition will receive a discount code to one of our sponsors. We have in the US and North America, we have Mythic Games, M-O-E, Mo's online emporium of games and other good stuff. And if you're in Europe, then you will also receive, will receive a discount code for Micro Art Studios of Poland, who make excellent terrain and other great stuff. So thank you very much to those guys for sponsoring us. And we will get on with the judging. So we'll start with our first entry today is Ricardo Entjes. I believe he's from the Netherlands. He's entered a few times with his Zensha armored reconnaissance unit. And before we move further on, As a reminder, you can see all these entries on the Infinity Global League website. Just check out the post entitled Infinity Global League Satellite Brackets Painting Competition Season 6 Results, and you can see everything that we're talking about and follow along there. So, Mike, what did you think of Ricardo's entry?
Are we starting with the Zencha FO?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. So the Zencha FO, I think the first thing that is overwhelming is very, very nice shade of orange. I love the contrast that he creates in between the very, very saturated orange and then the cool desaturated green. And I think it creates a lot of tension in the model. It's very pretty, and the orange is very, very hard to pull off that effectively. I think the edge highlighting is really crisp and clean on the hard edges. So that makes the armor look amazing. But I think the same approach was taken on the cloak. And I don't think it works quite as well on the cloak on the back. The base as well is a little on the simple side for me, which is fair enough. I mean, it's an aesthetic choice for a vibe. Yeah. But I would have liked a little bit more depth and variety personally.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think, the base, in a weird sort of way, the quality of the paint job kind of highlights the relative lack of attention the base has gotten. Because the model looks great, you know, you scan it and you get down to the bottom and it's like, oh, it's a fine gaming base.
Yes.
But it's perhaps not a painting competition base.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need loads more on there. It just needs to show a bit more attention, I'd say.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. Nice from Ricardo. We have another entry from Ricardo as well. He entered Bixi, if you're English, or I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. I believe it's Bixi or something similar. The Jade Champion launching herself off a bit of terrain with a sword. What do we think to this one?
So, again, very, very nice orange. And I'm a sucker for orange and white as a combination. I think it's just so compelling. I think that the white trim, though, just isn't quite as smooth as the transitions that he's got on the orange, which is a slight pity given how prominent it is in the front, but it looks great. I think the one drawback of this miniature is the dark brown jacket. I don't know if it's just the lighting in the picture or if it appears darker than it does in person. And I know it's supposed to be leather, but it just feels like it's a central focal point on the upper half of the miniature that just lets it down a little. Mm. And it doesn't read well. Murkies the colors.
Mm. Yeah, I see that too. I think your comment about the whites, I noticed particularly there's a side view, her left side view, and there's a white panel, which is just a little bit scruffy on the white there. And because it's so prominent, it's in the middle of the miniature, you immediately see it. But yeah, the jacket, I feel like I want it to be a richer color because you've got such orange and the white is so strong. I'm not sure if this is the right sort of color theory choice, but I kind of want it to be a redder brown, something to kind of chime more strongly. I can see, you know, you make the choice to make a contrast. But I don't know, that's sort of my instinctive take on it anyway.
I think I would have liked to see a little bit more texture painted on and highlighted up a bit more. I don't mind it being a cold brown, but the problem is that it's also got the black hair and it's also got the black gun, which then muddies that transition very much. So it's got very low contrast with the grays and the blacks used, and I think that's what confuses it.
And similarly the base is very simple, again, a fine choice, which I would say for a gaming piece, but it needs a little more for a competition. Very nice. We will move on from Ricardo. Thank you for your entry. We will go to 6'2" Koala at the Painting Koala on Instagram and his Ariadna Tag Raid Beast Hunter. And he's titled this work Big Game Hunting.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here. I think overall, there's the effect is very muted and cohesive, but the points of focus are really well presented and incredibly detailed. And I think, crucially, It has the most detailed and intricate basing of all the entries. And I really appreciate the effort that's gone into an ambitious base. I think the figure itself is excellent. A back angle wasn't presented on the figure, but the front looks amazing. The colors are rich and realistic, and the green armor reads very, very well. It reads as incredibly weathered, and I love the transition from the reddish brown shadow all the way through green and ivory. It feels incredibly believable. The uniform nitpicking feels a little plain and low contrast, but I don't think it distracts from the figure at all, so I actually don't mind it. And then the focal point is obviously the chest, head, and then the shoulder weapon that is that wonderful red. And it's all smooth and subtle and incredibly well rendered, and it reads very, very well. So I love the base. I feel like it adds a lot of narrative to the piece, but it is incredibly ambitious, and it brings a few nitpicky elements into play. I think the blood spatter doesn't read as well as the rest of the figure. I think a little bit more variation in the red and perhaps a darker red would have been more believable. Yeah. The yellow leaves and flowers look amazing, but they draw the eye upward and away from the figure.
I definitely agree with that. That's the one, you know, I'll go into what I think is good as well, which is broadly aligns with what you were saying. But in terms of this, it's just on the edge of being too much. That yellow is so strong, and it's so far away from the model in some instances. That's the sort of biggest drawback that I can see. But I mean, maybe I'm giving it too much weight, because overall the effect is fantastic.
It's an incredible figure. It really is. It's really nicely painted. And then I think the last point that I've got is just in terms of the pigment. I like the use of pigments on the base. They look really good, but I would have liked two things. So it to be more incorporated into the boots even further, so that it grounds the figure in the piece, and for there to be a little bit more color variation in the pigments.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I mean, you can see, particularly on the front on image and the view from the model's right hand side, that front foot it looks nice and muddy, but it kind of is mostly on the toe, which I suppose is sort of realistic. But if you're going for this storytelling angle, and it's got such a wonderful atmosphere. As you point out, like, you want to ground, you're imagining this guy has been yomping through the woods or the forest or the jungle or whatever for a long period of time. So he should probably be, I mean, he's already pretty weathered. He probably should be a little bit more. And certainly, as you say, his boots are a bit of a giveaway, where they need to be. You almost want a bit of like caked on mud, you know, where it's kind of stuck to parts. I mean, that's tricky to do, but then that's, if you're going this direction, then that's what you need to be, you know, thinking about and going for. But as I say, an excellent piece. And for me, what I love the most is the lighting of it, actually, the way that the piece itself, and I think having criticized the yellow leaves in the branches, but because the light on him is so well placed, and the rest of the base is flatter, it really brings him forward. And, you know, you get this sense of, if he's walking through a wooded area, maybe he's sort of stepping into a shaft of light almost, which is a really nice effect. Lovely piece, 6'2" koala. Thank you very much for entering it. We enjoyed rating that one very much. Next up, we have Yalaz Ozkanli from Turkey and his Mukhtar Active Response Unit Doctor.
Okay. Let me just get that picture up. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So this figure, I really like the variation in the brown tones. To paint a figure that's predominantly warm and brown is very hard to get that distinguishing between the different browns and the different colors. And it reads really, really well. I think that there's a little texture in some parts that I don't think was intentional. And I'm not sure if it's the paint or the primer. And you can see primarily like the green on the holster, that there's some thickening on the paint that's come through. And I mean, I appreciate that it's a very simple limited color palette that I'm certain looks amazing on the tabletop with the entire force. But it is a very simple color scheme.
Yeah. And I think on this model, you know, as much as I believe, I mean, we have an entry from Yelaz as well that comes in a different category, and they match. You know, they've obviously he's making an army, so there's some element there where you want it for the table and you want it to be matching. But I think with the Mukhtar in specifically, you have opportunities to make it a bit more interesting. I think specifically about the back of his jacket, which has this beautiful sort of Islamic geometric pattern in the jacket. You know, you can obviously go simple, which he has done, and it's a perfectly valid choice. But again, you have an opportunity there to push yourself a bit, to maybe just do it in a lighter color, or, you know, try and pick out some of those individual shapes, something like that, perhaps. I quite like the Medikit, he's got the little kind of capsule that's in the Medikit is a nice blue tone, which is sort of gives me a hint of what he could have done with this, where it's like, yes, you've got this nice uniform army sort of scheme. But you could also, you know, he's identified that you do need some extra colors in there, but he could have just gone a bit further with them. But yeah, I like the basing a lot. Like this is maybe in reference back to Ricardo's piece, where the basing here is almost as simple, but he's just gone that little extra mile and added in a bit of grass and a few different sizes of gravel to kind of give a more of a realistic tone to it. So yeah. Yeah, I like this piece. Nice one, Yelaz. Thank you. Then we move on to Ed Villaver. I always get it wrong. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But his is Guilang Skirmisher with a boarding shotgun. And he entitled this one, Yujing number one, brackets, Hack Islam number two. And he wrote them in a kind of phonetic way. I don't quite know what he's going for there, but it's quite amusing. What do we think of this one?
Man, so these colors look amazing. The yellow and white, and the purple undertone for both of them is just incredible. I love the stylized cloak that you can see at the back. It's just really well done. Really sumptuous colors, crisp edge highlights. I like the light transition from front to back that's presented on the base as well as on the figure. It reads incredibly well. I think if I had to be hypercritical, and it really is picking nits, I think that the edge highlighting on the gun is probably letting it down very slightly. It feels like that could have been crisper and neater with better gradient. But it like that is... It's being hypercritical, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I can see that definitely. When you that front view, or I guess side view, front view, where you can see the shotgun in sort of profile, you can be critical there and say that could be a little sharper. And it's a little one dimensional. Like you would have higher highlights in certain parts, you know, on the corners, on the sharp bits. Yes. But yeah, I mean, I think it's also of a piece with the whole unit insofar as it is very stylized in a good way. That's not in no way a criticism. I love this style. I agree with you. The coat, I, if I remember correctly, Ed entered a little while ago with a Zenshar hacker, and we criticized the sort of fabric work that he's done, and he's clearly gone away and worked on that, and you know, he has a more interesting. The fabric on this has got some interesting folds, so it's in some sense easier, but he's clearly put some more effort into that and tried to make it more interesting, given it is from the back, it's very much a dominant area of the model. And again, I agree on the basing with the lighting and stuff. It's just a lovely piece. It's very well, interestingly, talking about the earlier piece by Koala, how the piece is quite well grounded in the base, you know, it all fits together. This also fits together, thanks to the lighting, thanks to the sort of simplicity of it. But it is a very different vibe. But he feels, when you look at that front foot, it's very well planted on the base. It doesn't look, you know, sometimes when you build a small model, the foot maybe doesn't sit exactly right. You might have a little gap under the toe and stuff like that. And he's really eliminated all that, any sense of that, which I really appreciate. Really nice.
Very pretty.
Thank you, Ed. We will move swiftly along to San Garn. That's at Triumcorp on Instagram. And his Tachyol Officer, which is a rather extensive conversion. So I've listed them on the website, but I will talk about them now because it's quite an incredible piece. He's converted it using a Fractor as the base with the body and the legs. He's used Aelis Kisan, the Toha character, for her pistol arm, and Ektros for the head. And I think the gun arm, I guess it's a combi rifle of some kind of Toha combi rifle, and Ko Dali's sort of tentacle hair. I think that's the extent of it. I'm sure Sangon can correct me on the IGL Discord if I've missed any parts out. And he's entitled this one Ganimar, which I guess is the character name for this piece.
Dude, it's an incredible conversion and it looks amazing. And I think that the Toha range is not only not available, it's also lacking in diversity. So to put this level of effort in, I mean, you must be very, very proud and it must be an amazing piece on the tabletop to use. You must feel great when you make something like that. So really cool.
Yeah.
I think the color choices are really interesting. I do like the contrast quite a lot between the gray, the blue, the red, the green, and the orange. But I feel like the shadows might be a little bit too bright. It feels a little uniformly placed. Like the red on the bodysuit, there's no variation between under the arms and on the belly where it's bright. Like it's highlighted well, but the base tones just don't show any kind of texture or any kind of shading, sorry.
You look at like the as you say, the sort of belly area under the chest plate. It's again high, it's sort of consistently highlighted all the way down, but I'd want to see that darker directly beneath there, and then getting lighter. But it is a bit darker, but as you say, it needs to just be pushed, I think, a bit further.
And I think the contrast is in several places on the miniature. Like the highlighting on the armor plates on the legs is incredible, but the contrast just isn't pushed far back enough between the plates, and it lets it down just very slightly by just not giving it that really, really nice contrast to let the NMM shine through.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I think, though, you know, to give some more fulsome praise, I mean, the conversion is great, but there is some great painting on here. There's a really nice, he's got the back shot, and then he's got some cutouts, which this is a little tip for anyone interested in getting involved in this competition. We have a limit of 3 finished photos for the model, which feels like a short amount, but bear in mind, we have to process all of these images. But we get a lot of people who do what Sangon has done, and put some insets or make an image which is a composite of a few different images together, which is a great little way to highlight areas you like and think are worth noting, and also you get some more angles in there. But he's done a really nice job with, I particularly like this little can, like a beer can or something on the floor, which he's done a lovely job on. And also the combi rifle or whatever kind of gun it is, there's a lovely bit of pink OSL circle, which I really like, adding that, just a little pop of pink onto that sort of bluey, purpley gun, really lifts it. It's really nice.
And the armor panels on the back are nicely shaded. I just would have liked to see that level of contrast in the front as well.
Yeah, really nice, Sangon. I would say just push it a little more, you know, go harder with the contrast. I know he is painting this in the context of an army as well, so that, you know, he wants some uniformity. But, it's nearly there as a really excellent piece. It's very good at the moment, but it could be superb.
I'm sure that army must look amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Moving along then, we have Alex Chu. W noise hash mark 2791 is I believe his Discord handle on Instagram is at alexchu 1004, and he's done a Samsa and named it the cockroach. And just as an aside, Alex is part of what is our kind of burgeoning I don't know whether this is the right terminology, but it's the sort of burgeoning group of painters coming out of Singapore, I believe, sort of Singapore painting mafia. All of the next ones we've got for the next sort of four or five entries are all by these guys who all paint in the same store. They're all friends. And it's really great to see if, you know, this is a little call out to anybody who is in this competition or wants to join this competition. You know, getting all your friends involved is really a cool thing to do. And these people in Singapore, they really are driving each other to get better. We'll get all later on to De Chicken King, who's the guy who kind of makes the entries for everybody. But he's always like, we brought this new guy in and we're doing this and we're doing that. And you know, we took on board all your criticism. So it's really nice to hear that. And it's a good way. They're motivating each other, but they're motivating each other through the competition as well, which is a really nice touch. But anyway, what do we think to Alex's piece? Hello, listeners. This is Thomas from the future jumping in to correct past Thomas. I was wrong to say Singapore as the place of our new painting mafia. They are, in fact, from Taiwan. I apologize to Dustin and Co. for the mistake. I do correct myself later on in the episode, but I thought it was worth jumping in now because I repeat the error a number of times before we get to that point. So apologies once again to our Taiwanese painters. It was not intentional. So back on with the show.
So I think the colors here are amazing. They're really vibrant and saturated. And I think that the choices really fit the bug aesthetic for Combined Army really, really well. Mm. I think that I'm very interested by the choice of gradients on the armor plates particularly. And like the fearless painterly approach to letting the brush strokes show through with very sharp color jumps in the transitions. And I think the blue and green, they feel like they share some mother colors between the two, but they read as very distinct from one another, which is super, super cool. Yeah. But then ultimately, I think that some of the transitions are a little too rough. And some of them don't work. And the ones that don't work are unfortunately very visible and high profile and distract from the rest of the overall effect.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think, I'm all those things you said. I love the sort of painterly style. Alex has entered at least one time before now, and he has this same style previously. And it, you know, it's a lovely thing to look at. And you know, we've mentioned about the sort of tabletop presence of models. This one, you could not fail to see it and to really note it and to enjoy it. You know. But I think, yeah, I agree with you. Like there's the side view where you've got this like long three part panel that comes down the side of the model. I really like that. You know, as you say, it's got this painterly style. I think there's definitely, we could talk about a sort of broader question of style in miniature painting. I think there is a sort of a flattening, right? People all want to do the most hyper realistic thing you can do. I think there's definitely space for this kind of work. I love a style, people with a style. We talked earlier about Ed's style, and it's a very definite one. But as you point out, there are some, unfortunately, slightly scruffy bits. He's done a nice composite image that shows the face in close-up, and it has this big horn, but the highlight on the horn is way too wide. You know, it just needs to be tidied up, really. In that one area, and he sort of picked it out, and so it's hard not to see it and critique it in that respect. Lovely all the stuff you said about the color. I really love. I'd love to see the gun maybe picked out more, or to take that pink, which is also really rich and lovely, and put it somewhere else lower down in the model.
Of the assault to sell the effect.
Mm.
But I can't see because I don't think there were clear photos of the gun.
Yeah, that is a little unfortunate. I think Alex, if you're listening, the pink I really liked. Obviously, Mike likes it as well, but it is hard to pick out. I know it's obviously you're limited in what you can photograph for us, but yeah, I would have loved to have seen a bit more of that to get a real good read on it. Lovely. Thank you, Alex. Moving on to our next Singapore Mafia painter, we have Alan, known on Discord as Dark Bear Lab, also on Instagram as at Hallodx, H-A-L-L-O-D-X. That was what I received an email. It might also be Haldox. Maybe there was a bit of a typo. Anyway, no. That would be easier to read. I don't know. Maybe not. This Cosmos Soldat, Alone in the Dark. And just for reference, I believe Alan is relatively new to painting, but he's clearly got an understanding of what he wants, like with this piece.
Yeah. So to start off, great job, Alan. I think it looks amazing. It will look amazing on the tabletop, and you can be really, really proud of it. I think it's got a very grim dark vibe in terms of the types of colors chosen and the very dirty washes that have swamped the large parts of the model and makes it look very realistic. So the main body of the armor looks a little indistinct because of the approach and the colors chosen and the wash heavy approach, but then the super bright orange just lifts and picks up the model, and I think it's a really cool idea and it must look amazing on the tabletop. I would have liked a little more gradient on the orange if it's going to be a focal point. I think that could have been pushed a little further, and then I think maybe picking out some more higher contrasty details on the focal area, like the head and the shoulders, even if going for a more grim dark style. I think that highlighting up the parts of the model that you want folks to look at to draw attention to them really works. And OSL effects work really, really well on those, that kind of style of figure.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a nice little OSL on the chest, but it's below the gun arm. I mean, he's got sort of this green light in the armor and it's shining out quite brightly, and you can see it's shining onto the arm on the opposite side. But then you have the shots from the top down and from the other sides, and of course it's completely invisible because it's under other parts of the model.
Exactly.
So he can definitely, and as you say, with the orange visor and the orange sort of glasses, I guess, you know, he clearly understands the value of those, of dropping those highlights in. There's a little bit of blue on the back. I do particularly like the backpack. He's kind of given it this effect. It almost looks like two tanks of something liquid that is like full of bubbles. That might be part of the sculpt as well, but he's sort of exploited it to a really good degree, which I really like. So he understands the picking out of specific colors, but I definitely agree with you. The armor, you could have just done one or two small pieces. You can see like the shoulder pads have two levels. There's like a plate, a larger plate under and a smaller one on top. And you could have just done an edge. You could have just done something just to lift it a little bit more. But yeah, in terms of storytelling, as we've talked about before, it's really good, especially with the title, helps a lot. Makes you think, yeah, okay, I know what he's thinking here. I know what he's trying to communicate with his painting. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on, we have another one of our Singapore Mafia. We have Rong Hen, known as Wang Mian on Discord, I think. And he's done I have my own notes, sort of notation for which is which, and sometimes I forget. I think it's Discord. Bluecoats Naval Security Detachment, and he's titled this Rong Hen's Space Cop, which is a fun title.
All of the glue.
Yes.
I think it's a very, very nice O12 color scheme. I think it's got a very nice saturated blue that really stands out. And I really like how the OSL is being painted. The points of light are very clear, and the diffuse lighting around it is really, really clear. I think the colors are themselves very nice and incredibly vibrant. I would have liked to see a different choice of color for the OSL, just so that it doesn't confuse with the blue of the cloak itself. I thought it would have created a very, very nice point of visual interest if it was a green or a red, but it's really well executed.
I definitely agree.
And I believe this was painted really quickly, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah, in 2 hours or something. Something remarkable.
Really well done, considering.
I mean, you can almost imagine with it being so quick. You know, this is. I'd like to see actually Wrong Hand do something over the course of some, you know, 6-8 hours and take some time over a piece and see where that goes, because it was done so quickly. You could say this is sort of a quick paint job, or you could say this is a skilled painter who's knows what he needs to do to achieve an effective model in a short space of time. And we don't know that because this is the first entry that Wrong Hand has made. But it is really nice. I really like it. All the things that you mentioned, I enjoyed. I like his basing as well. He's done it like a sort of cracked tarmac with grass growing through it, which is nice and sort of characterful. Sets it in a place nicely. Really nice. Thank you, Wrong Hand.
Great job.
Let's see. Next up, we have Joe, also known as @WhoTitan3000 on Instagram, with his Shaolin Warrior Monk titled Tilda, presumably after Tilda Swinton, which she looks quite like.
So a very nice conventional Yujing color scheme. I think the color combinations work really, really well. And the orange looks awesome. It's a really hard color to pull off and look as rich and saturated as that. So great job on that. And I think the attempt at non-metallic metallic on the sword is great. It's just a really hard shape to visualize the bouncing light off of. And it's very unforgiving from that perspective. I would have liked to see the final highlights on the edges be a little thinner and a little sharper, just to really sell that NMM effect. Mm. So there's a lot of positive, but I think unfortunately the skin on the face really lets it down. It feels incredibly flat, and it doesn't feel like the same kind of painting as on the orange, for example's sake. I would have liked to see far more effort put into the face.
Yeah, agreed. Like you're right about the orange. I really like the shin pads on both legs, but certainly the one on the raised leg. Obviously, it's higher up in the model. It's more central, and it's got this lovely warm tone and shade in it, which I really like. Similarly for the sort of chest plate, but the head unfortunately is a bit too flat. Similarly, the coat on the back. Joe's work with that one, it seems a bit more than the head, but it still could be pushed a bit further. And for me, the gray on the clothing also needs a bit of work. Again, that raised front leg, there's a shot looking directly at that knee. Like the knee is in the middle of the model, and it doesn't look like it's had much much done to it at all, really, apart from adding gray and maybe a little bit of a highlight. I mean, it's a challenging fabric is challenging on its own. And then this is challenging because it's got full of pattern and shape. So it's certainly not easy to do. But I would have liked to have seen more of an attempt, really, on that one. A lovely piece nonetheless, and really nice basing as well. The snow and the snow lapping up onto the feet. Even the lifted foot has a bit of snow on it. So that's, you know, nice sort of attention to detail. I feel like Joe really knows what he wants. He just needs to work a bit harder and get deeper into achieving it.
Yeah.
Nice. Then we move on to our kind of nominated submitter of entries for these guys. We have the Chicken King. He's at Luong_Dustin. And he's done Cassandra Kusanagi with the title Ksabni version 2, Electric Boogaloo. If I remember correctly, Dustin entered a different version of Cassandra Kusanagi in the previous or time before. And he's clearly taken on some of our critique and feedback, and has come back with the dungeon crawling game version of Cassandra. Defiance. There we go.
Defiance, that's the one.
So what do we think of this?
It's a very cool conversion, and it's very fun. And like, the color choices are awesome. They are the purple and blue mix is great. I think it's very, very creative and really, really interesting, and it reads really well. The sword is incredibly interesting and well done. And I think it really, in terms of in addition to the overall figure, it adds a hell of a lot. I really like the texture on the pink on the cloak. There's lots of effort put in on micro texturing and creating highlights with the small scratches, and it adds so much to the figure. The something that I think I like, but I can't be 100% certain, is the secondary reflections of the pink and the blue. I think I really like the idea, and if you'd spent a little bit more time refining that, or maybe a better picture of it, it must look amazing in person. But I do really like it. It's very creative, and it adds very, very interesting color combinations.
I really like I like the sort of fearlessness of this painting. Like the color choices, the color placement. Like, one could criticize Dustin for basically painting a naked of a body. But I'm actually okay with that. I mean, it's clearly not a normal human body, you know, using that style, and it's fine. You know, everyone's allowed to paint however they want to paint. That's not a problem for me. But what I like is, as you said, the choice of the purple and the blue, and then you've got this flesh tone in the middle. And your point about the sort of secondary reflection, when I look at her right shoulder, you've got the blue, the light blue on top, and then you've got this other low down reflection, which for me, I would never be bold enough to do that. I would never think, yeah, I want to do that, and I'm just gonna go for it. And he's done it, and it looks really nice. Like, it works out so well. And as you point out, the sword, I know there's been a sort of spate of that sort of Damascus steel patterning that I've seen in a few sort of professional painters who have been releasing stuff on Instagram, and Dustin's clearly gone for that as well, and he's done it really nicely. It's a lovely effect, and just, you know, brings another bit of interest to the model. And as you say, it is a conversion. He's got some bunny ears, which, you know, fits with the name of the piece. Really nice. Well done, Dustin. Thank you. We then have Lala, also known as @whitebasetw on Instagram. They are the owner of White Base Taiwan Gaming Store. So if you ever find yourself, I said Singapore before, didn't I? Apologies to all of you. That was a terrible mistake. It is Taiwan. I don't know where in Taiwan. Gosh, that's embarrassing. Anyway, moving on. Lala has painted Mary Problems, Tactical Uber Hacker, with the title Very Problem. What do we think to this one?
Mary is the best. She is the most fun miniature to use in the game. She just does everything. This is an amazing rendition. I've got it sitting. I haven't touched it yet. I'm saving it for a special occasion. Nice. I love the color choices here. It creates a very, very nice visual contrast while still being a very moody figure. The very warm purple and the blue gray black look great, and then the base as well, with very muddy oranges and brown, just really creates a very interesting color palette across the board. And I think we're going to get very similar. We've said this before, and like the painterly feel and all of the highlights and transitions here is incredible. Like, I don't mind seeing the brush strokes. I feel like they add so much to this figure, and they look so pretty, and it creates such an interesting color transition. And I admire like the fearlessness to not have that smooth transition and allow the brush strokes to show through. Mm. And in person, I'm certain that this figure must look amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I really feel like, and I think we, as you mentioned, the other ones as well, where I feel like they're probably having a lot of fun painting this.
Yeah.
I know I've sat and really struggled with models, and, you know, trying to, you paint a bit and you have to fix it, and you fix it wrong and you fix it again, and you're going back and forth over it. And this feels like they're painting with incredible freedom, which yes. I really appreciate. And you can almost see that enjoyment coming through, where it's, you know, I'm putting color here and I'm putting color there, and this works, and maybe I'll add a bit. And, you know, it has a wonderful energy to it, which is helped by the really nice sculpt as well. But yeah, I totally agree with you in terms of the color palette. That base, I love actually how you kind of, you scan the model initially and you go, yeah, it's got this powerful blue and this yellow. And then you get down and the base is so like grungy and rusty and like, okay, she's in this real place. She's the kind of like, she's this kind of hyper realized character. She is a character, right? She's like an anime character, how colorful she is and all that kind of stuff. But then she's in this really grungy kind of, I guess, spaceship or, you know, factory or whatever it might be. That's a really nice contrast. And I think the yellow, it's not a super warm yellow, but I think it tones just does enough work to bring the model into that base a little bit. If it had only been blue or been blue and green or some other kind of colder color, it might not have worked as well. But the yellow kind of grounds it nicely in that rusty red orange.
Yes.
So yeah.
Really, I think nice. the one thing that lets this figure down, in my view, faces are so important for miniatures, and the one angle on the face, and the face is well painted and well rendered, but then the OSL that is cast onto the face from the left-hand side, I can't quite place where it's coming from, and that loses so much. Because if there was face cast on, or sorry, OSL light cast on the face, the whole left side of the body would be swamped in that same color.
Yeah.
And it feels out of place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of, I found myself by turns thinking this is great, and then also having the same thought as you had. It's like, you see there's the shot of her, you can see most of her body, you see the whole miniature and her arm is sticking out, and you can just see the light falling on her face.
Yeah.
And that looks really nice because her face is really warm, and the light is coming onto her hair and onto her face. But as you say, like, but where's it coming from? Because if it's her like hacking dial, then her fingers should also be colored, and obviously her arm and everything else. And if it's a light from somewhere else, as you say, it should be washing all over her like opposite knee and all down her feet and everything. So yeah, it's sort of good, but yeah, it's sort of an almost unrealized potential there. I feel like that could have been amazing. In the end, it sort of ends up detracting a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice one. Thank you, Lala. Very nicely done. That is the end of our Taiwan Painting Mafia entries. Apologies, my friends in Taiwan. They might not be my friends anymore. We will move along to John, also known as at Izzy's Painting Workshop on Instagram. And he's done a Shang-Chi Invincibles with armor-piercing heavy machine gun.
So I think on this one, and then it's so difficult because it's an online painting competition, so the quality of photographs taken really influence what we can look at and judge. But I really would have liked to see better quality photos of this one, because there are some things that I think show so much potential. Like, I really love the white. I love the blue-white transition, and I think it looks like it's got really crisp, nice highlights on it. Mm. But I can't help but think that the photograph is doing a disservice to the rest of the colors. Like, it doesn't feel like the gun has the casing on the weapon. The red has the same kind of gradient to it.
It also looks a little blurry. The shot from the model's right-hand side, the end of the gun is, I think, a little bit blurry, which, you know, it is difficult, as you say, it's difficult to photograph models and photograph them well. But, you know, as you say, it's an online competition, so that kind of thing you need to get right if you want the full assessment.
Yeah, so it's a little difficult to go into any further detail because I can't be certain. But again, I think the white is really striking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, John's done a previous entry with some more Yuching models with this similar paint scheme, the same kind of with this blue-purple undertone to the white. And I agree, I loved his previous work, and this one looks like it's in the same kind of ballpark. It's really, really nice. And I like, you know, having criticized the photography of the gun, like I like the use of that sort of red, sort of dusky red, pink, orangey kind of vibe there with a little bit of freehand lines on it really like lifts it, adds a little bit more interest, makes it really nice. And he's called out his own base especially, which I think was a good idea because in the two main images he sent, the base is kind of cloaked in shadow and, you know, obviously your eye is drawn to the very white model. But his base is also really nice, like his nice choice of base. And he's done a little work there to sort of ground the model there.
It looks However,
he has also overpainted slightly. I think there's a bit of white next to the left foot and a little bit of blue on the right foot from the base. So it's sort of a mixed bag here. I think, John, this maybe is a little condescending, but I think John is better than this. I think he's a better painter than what we can see here anyway. Yeah. But nonetheless, it is a lovely piece of work. I encourage him to keep entering and keep showing us what he's got, because I just like seeing them, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Here we have, next up, we have Popo. Popo, actually, apologies to our Taiwan friends. Popo is part of the grouping from there. I've got the listing mixed up, unfortunately. But Popo, also known as L Popo, that's the letter L, P-O-P-O, on Discord, and POPO_miniature on Instagram, with his Mackay Steel Phalanx's operative unit, with the title Miss Mackie. What do we think to this?
Dude, I love the color choices here. It's not what I would have picked, but I love the dark blue and black and gold on the Steel Phalanx miniature. It looks really, really awesome. And I think that the blue is incredibly classy. The planes of light and how they've been rendered. Again, very painterly. Again, very free. But it feels like there's a little bit more precision here in terms of, I don't feel like any of the placed points of light and reflection are out of place. It reads just as super, super glossy, which is amazing. I think the NMM work on everything is superb. And there's just, like you can see in places, there's just that hint of surface texture, like on the rocket launcher at the back. And I really love that. I love the micro scratching and just that attention to detail to make something feel real. Mm. And I think in interest of being, I do really, really like this piece, but in interest of being a little critical, I think that the OSL lets us down very, very slightly. And we can see, again, on that same rocket launcher, if you look at the purple LED, the point of light and the cast light around it is the same tone. So it doesn't really read as the point of brightness. And I think it's a consistent piece of feedback on a bunch of pieces. If you're going to do OSL, you need to make sure that you really push the highlights on that central focal point.
Yeah. I think there's a conversation to be had perhaps around, like, you know, not for today, but when you're doing OSL particularly, but I think you can also say with non-metallic metals as well, you have to really exaggerate. Like I've had this problem myself in the past when I've tried these techniques. And you kind of do a thing which feels normal, feels realistic. But in order for it to read correctly, you need to really push it beyond, in a way, sort of beyond what feels realistic. As you say, you've got to go to white to get that this is a light, because the model is small, right? And you're either zooming right in or you're looking from a distance, and either sort of setting, it's got to kind of punch you in the eye a little bit of like, this is what this is, and this is what this is. And they're clearly defined as like, okay, you know, I'm showing you this technique, I'm showing you this style. But yeah, having said that, I really agree with you. I think I love the style, as you say, of all the painterly techniques, but the finish is really good. I really like the composition on this.
Yeah.
Like the not just the color choice, but the placement of colors. So like the gold on the helmet that then feeds into the bodysuit, but then is also picked up on the end of the missile launcher. So you have this kind of, the gold bits almost lead you around the model to looking at. And then there's a bit of gold on the base as well. So it draws your eye down. So you kind of have these anchor points for your view as you go through it, which I really like. So yeah.
I think composition is the right way to put it, because painting that level of NMM gold over that large an area on the base seems like it should be distracting from the figure, but it really doesn't in this instance. It really works well.
Yeah. Yeah. It balances out really nicely, actually. Yeah. I mean, I could imagine a situation where Popo has maybe thought, you know, where am I putting this gold on the lower part of the model? Because, you know, it's sort of, there's no one area that screams, like on the helmet and like on the bodysuit, there's these kind of like bits you can pick out. Whereas on the lower part of the leg, it's like, well, maybe there isn't something. So he's used the base as a way to anchor those points together, which is really nice. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along, we have Moritz, also known as @MrMo on Instagram, and he has done an Osnat Morat hunting regiment.
So the color scheme here is really, really interesting and really moody. So that vibe comes across very clearly, and it's very cool. And I'm certain that it looks amazing on the tabletop with the whole army painted like that. The orange NMM on the blade works really well, and I really, really like it. I think again, the last edge highlight could have gone close to white, just very, very thin, very, very crisp to really sell that sharp edge. But it adds so much to the miniature having that bright orange. But I think ultimately some of the transitions are just a little too rough. And especially on crucial places like the bone or white of the helmet is simply too rough in such a central focal point that it really, it's very distracting to the eye.
Yeah. I kind of, the helmet I find quite an interesting area, because I kind of like it. Like I definitely see the critique you've got. He's got this quite hard, but also sort of rough transition from like straight almost bone color to black around the eye. And I like that he's put the black there, because it really brings the eye out, and the eye is quite nice. It's got a little bit of almost glow to it. He's added color in the bottom of it, so it sort of looks like a lens or something. It kind of has an almost like a comic book kind of vibe to it, where the transition is just hard. You've just gone, I need this element to stand out, so I'm just gonna leave it. And at a distance, I think it works. But then, of course, we have these photos that we can zoom into, and it needs a little more. I sort of would like it to go into like a dark brown instead of a black, perhaps. If you really want to darken around the eye, and then make that transition smoother up to the top of the head.
And I mean, if you look at the work on the glaive itself, it's definitely possible, and he's got the skill to do it, that level of transition.
I mean, I love that blade. It's almost got a kind of, I don't know what the word would be, but it puts me in the mind of a kind of, almost like a Renaissance kind of painting. I think the choice of colors, but also the way it's sort of painterly, but not in the same style as the previous ones we've talked about. It's got this nice sort of looseness to it, and a warmth to it, which is a great sort of contrast, as you say, to the rest of the model. Yeah, I really like that, Moritz. Do we have any further reflections?
No.
Cool, nice one. That is our S2 category done. So if you entered or that's what you're interested in, we're done with that bit. We'll move on. We only have a few more entries, though, because the other categories were not so popular. Next up, we have S4 with Yalaz Ozkanli again, and he's done a Shehab Total Reaction remote.
So I think that this is a very, very nice and muted color scheme. It's very neatly painted. There's lots of focus on precision and neatness with the lines. And it feels almost realistic. Like it feels like it has the same kind of color scheme that a NATO tank has, you know, the same choices of colors. And it, and I do appreciate that. Like, again, this is a part of the whole Haq Islam army that matches the Mukhtar that he painted previously. And they must look incredible in uniform on the tabletop. I would have liked to see him push the edge highlights a little further on the armor plates, just to really sell that sci-fi look and sharp edges. And then the color feels uniform, like the green is a little bit too consistent from top to bottom. And it would be nice to have it represent the light source, right? So be a little bit brighter on the top of the miniature and a little bit darker at the bottom rather than just the one uniform color.
I certainly agree there. I agree with all of your good points, but also the critique. And I think this is something we've had for Yalaz before, and he can continue to push, I think, which is to just keep adding, go hard with the highlights. He's got highlights on there, and you know, he's picking out the forms relatively well. But as you say, the top of the model, you've got a big series of plates that are basically perpendicular to the sky, and you could go much harder with those and really lift. And of course, we have a sort of limited view as well, which is need to be mentioned. He may well have gone harder. We can't quite see it, but you can see that on the sort of face of the rem as well. You could just pick it out a little more. I like your notion of it being, you know, the NATO colors that sort of, it looks like a military vehicle, if you like, with the markings on the wings at the back, and everything else is very like, this is, you know, it's a serious piece of equipment. It's not an anime robot with like purple and green and stuff. Moving along, we have our S5s. That's our only category, only entry for S4. Well done, Yalaz. You win that category. unfortunately, by default, but you do win. Moving on to S5, we have Robert Kuska. Hopefully, I'm pronouncing that right. With his Discord handle, his wheelchair trademark, and he has done a Gamma 012.
So I think that this is an excellent rendering of that archetypal high gloss 012 aesthetic. It looks great. I really like the combination, and I really like how rich people are getting their blues, and the purple in this blue particularly is wonderful. And I think a lot of care and attention has gone into figuring out and placing where the sources of light would need to be for the NMM to really sell on this figure. And I like it. I think that in terms of the gold, I like where the lights are placed on the gold, but I think I would have liked to see just one additional highlight on the edges that takes it to like an ice yellow, or just off-white, just a very, very bright high luminosity yellow that separates the sort of main body of the reflection from the sharp edge. And I think that would just push it a little bit further. The one detracting thing for this figure, I think, is the gun, which is unfortunately front and center and primary. There is an attempt made to create texture on it, micro texturing, but it feels a little bit too uniform. And with the long straight edges that are exposed to the top of the miniature or the top of the light source, I think that there's a prime opportunity to have a really sharp edge highlight across the top there, and it'll improve it a lot. And then the final part is that you can see that there is some attempt at a green OSL on the bottom of the gun. and small touches on the inside knee pad and the like, and obviously on the base. And I do really like that. But in terms of selling the effect, if the bright source or if the light source was bright enough to cast that kind of dim light on such an upraised weapon, it would swamp the bottom of the miniature. And I think that's the challenge, like people visualizing how bright that light source is, where it is, and then selling the overall effect.
Yeah. It reminds me that discussion point there reminds me a little bit about, I think it was the very first edition we did, which was early last year. We're now on 6. So if you're interested to go back and see the winner of one, it was one of the new Aleph, what are they called? Thorakites. And that was a really good example of the base putting OSL onto the model and kind of contrasting it well with the sort of sky, if you like. This one from Robert, I really like it. The blue is this lovely gloss. Like you get this sense of the armor plates are glossy. You know, he's done it with a matte paint, but it makes you feel like if he moved, those light lines would move with it. The gold as well is very rich. Although I agree, it needs that little white, not white, but off-white touch. Yeah. Just a little bit too yellow. As you say, the gun, it kind of, because the body of the miniature is so glossy and so rich and kind of saturated, then that sort of down sort of gray color of the gun, it is a real detractor, unfortunately. I like the base. I like the sort of, he's sort of done it so it looks like it's got scratches and chips in it, which is also worth noting. So that's nice.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
lovely.
Very beautiful. Well,
Robert, you've done great there, and you also are only S5 entry, so congratulations, you're the champion of that that section. We move on to our final entry today in the S6 to 8 category, and it is Moritz again at Mr. Mo on Instagram, and he has done a Bull Track Mobile Armored Regiment for Morats and Combined Army.
Man, that is one sinister Morat. And I could completely imagine this figure dominating and bossing the tabletop. I love the moody overall appearance. I think it must look incredible in person. I love the bright orange that just really creates this pop. And unafraid to go to black and have stark transitions. The lights on the armor plates feel pretty well placed, but again, I would have liked to see sharper edge highlights and a little cleaner edge highlights, just to really sell that sci-fi feel and have a more consistent overall effect. And I think that there are a couple places on the miniature where it would have just pushed it even further.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think just to mention the sort of sinister aspect of it, obviously it chimes well with his previous Osnat piece, and it looks, both of them have this look like they're in darkness or in partial darkness, which is just such a good effect. And as you say, the sort of sinister aspect of this thing, it almost looks like it's, and especially with the base that has this kind of rusty, could be a spaceship or a factory or some other kind of industrial thing that looks rusty and old, so it's sort of like it's almost coming out of the gloom to get you. Which is really effective style.
And I love the teddy bear. It's just such a comic addition on the sinister piece that makes it more sinister somehow.
Completely. Moritz went to the special effort of just zooming in on his little teddy bear that he put on the base. It almost gives it kind of an alien vibe. You know, it's that kind of, you know, exactly. There'll be a little girl in a tunnel somewhere hiding from this monster. Very nice. Lovely. Nice job, Moritz. I agree on all of the points. I think that it does need a bit of a tidy up, particularly there's the view from the left, its left side. There's a couple of views, and that left leg is sort of flat in places and a little scruffy in places. So, you know, could use a bit of attention there. But then you've got like, there's like a little drum that's attached to the gun. And with the back view, that's a really nice high gloss reflective sort of metal drum. So it's clear that Moritz knows what he's doing. He just needs to go a little further with what he's working on. Cool. Well, thank you, Moritz. And thank you to all of our entrants. That is the end of our judging today. All that has remained is for us to announce the overall winner of this Infinity Global League Satellite Painting Competition Season 6 and the recipient of a discount code from one of our sponsors. So, if you wouldn't mind, Mike, who is our winner?
It was really, really hard. It was two very, very different pieces that are both exceptional. But I think the one that we agree was the most ambitious and has the greatest narrative element, as well as being incredibly well painted, is the big game hunting beast hunter of a 6'2" koala.
Yes. Chris is his name. I don't know if he'll thank us for saying his name out loud, but hopefully just the first name will be fine. Yeah, congratulations to 6'2" koala. He's done a wonderful piece. We really, really enjoyed looking at that. And I will be in touch with you, Koala, in the coming days to award you your prize for whichever region you happen to live in, or indeed no prize, unfortunately. No, Mike, you very kindly relinquished your prize as it was difficult to claim in South Africa. Yeah, that prize hopefully will be on its way to you. But otherwise, you get our massive congratulations and eternal gratitude for entering. Yes, excellent work. Thank you very much. We hope you enter again and show us more of your lovely painting. So that is the end. All remains for me to say is thank you to all our entrants and to you, dear reader / podcast listener, for taking the time to make this competition as strong as and engaging as it is. The IGL painting competition will continue with the next season of the IGL League, Infinity Global League, starting on April the 15th. And in the summer, we will be part of the Infinity Global Week. That means that there will be an IGL painting competition running from the 24th of June to the 24th of August, with the results due on the 1st of September. For those of you keeping track, this results show is a little late, so we'll have to really pull our socks up and make sure it happens on time. But it will be hopefully coinciding with the last day of Infinity Global Week, as organized by Corvus Belli and their kind of drive to make some kind of replacement for Interplanetaria, which is not running this year. But the usual sponsorship prizes are available from Micro Art Studio and Mo Games. Unfortunately, our previous sponsor from Australia and New Zealand, Toy Soldier Imports, is no longer able to sponsor for us. So if you are a store owner or know of a store in the South Africa region, or even in Australia or New Zealand or literally anywhere else that you think would enjoy sponsoring us, please get in touch. We are always eager to expand our pool of potential competition entrants and, you know, give them prizes. So that's about it. Also, one last final caveat is there will be other prizes given to us by Corvus Belli, which I will be sending out personally. Hopefully they are to be determined. So no promises, but that's what they're telling me at the moment anyway. So yeah, that's it for us today. Do you have anything lastly to say, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to say much for having me. It's been an absolute privilege, and it's been so wonderful seeing everyone's amazing entries. And thank you very much for running the event. Like, it's super, super, super cool.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Thanks for the continued effort.
No problem. Thank you very much. Well, that's it for us today, and you will be hearing from us next time. Thank you.